East West Hot Stove today. Eric DeHatchek joins us from the Globe and Mail and Globesports.com, and Al Morganti from CBS Radio in Philadelphia. Gentlemen, appreciate this as always. I want to start with an interesting story we've kicked around here for the last couple of days, and that is Devin Dubnyk. We all know what he's done with the Minnesota Wild, with a 24-6-1 record in 32 consecutive starts, a 1.71 goals against average, and a 938 save percentage. Eric, it is a limited body of work for Devin Dubnyk. My contention is he's been so impactful that he absolutely should be in the Vezina Trophy conversation. But what about you? Should somebody be considered with a more limited body of work like this?
Well, I think he should be in the conversation. I just don't think he's the favorite. I mean, you know, my view is that, you know, that Carey Price and Pekka Rinne, from the first game of the season until the 74th in Nashville's case, and the, you know, same with Montreal, have been lights out good. You know, so Price loses last night. The two played against each other. He's 140. Rinne's 139. I mean, you know, it is not that limited a body of work, because he's played virtually every game. Well, he has played every game since he arrived there, and he was playing some in Arizona. I mean, his record is 33-11-3. I think that's enough. That is enough games to absolutely be considered for the award. But he has made an impact only in the second half. And so, you know, and the Vezina is voted for by the general manager. Very interesting to see what they do with that, because I don't think that they reach very often. You know, sometimes when the writers vote or the broadcasters vote for the coach of the year, once in a while, someone will reach for a candidate. The general managers, my experience, tend to be very conservative. And Devin Dubnyk was a guy that was essentially out of the league last year, passed from team to team to team. And I just think that when managers sit down and cast their ballots for the Vezina, they're just more inclined to go with somebody that has had a larger body of work this year and a larger body of work throughout his career. That tends to be the way they go. So yes, in the conversation, possibly a finalist. I don't think he's the Vezina Trophy winner this year.
Al?
Well, I would be more likely to vote for him for the MVP.
Okay.
I think he has more credibility there. As Eric said, the first place, what the hell are the general managers voting for this for? Everybody that they pass around from team to team ends up as the best goalies.
True.
I'd be more likely to say, you know, it's going to look really silly. Minnesota could actually make a playoff run. And I jokingly tweeted out today, I might vote for him for the Adams too. Because when he came, all of a sudden the coach looks good. I don't think Vezina, because I think Vezina really would be the length of the season. And you look at what Montreal's got, their plus minus and goals. It really has done a terrific job. But value to a team, this team had no business being even in the playoff discussion with the way things were going. Coach was gone. Everything was a mess. And he comes on board. And, boy, I'll tell you, if they do make a deep playoff run, they make him make a deep playoff run, he really would look like an MVP guy. Now, regular season is going to be a little tougher, but if I had ballots on everything, I think I would put him on an MVP ballot, and he would be down lower in a Vezina ballot.
Eric, your response to that quickly.
Well, no, I think it's a great point. I mean, the Hart Trophy often trips up our association because of the way it's phrased, most valuable to his team. So essentially, I think a lot of people interpret that as who is the most irreplaceable player in the National Hockey League. And you know, before Patrick Kane got hurt, you know, there was talk about Patrick Kane for the MVP. And then, you know, he gets injured and he's missed a month, and the Chicago Blackhawks have gone backwards a little bit, but they haven't gone backwards that much. There was talk about Mark Giordano as an MVP candidate because he was the best player on a Calgary team that was not expected to do anything and was suddenly in the playoff race. I think if he had stayed healthy and if the Flames had made the playoffs and he had continued to play at the same high level that he played at, he would have got some MVP ballots. But now in the context of his injury and the fact that the team has still managed to you know, surprise people and win games, there seems to just be less of that because, you know, maybe maybe it is more of a team effort. To Al's point, you know, they were hopeless. They were a hopeless team without Dubnyk in goal, and suddenly he arrives and everything changes. So, you know, you take Lundqvist away from the Rangers, they're still good. You know, you take Ryan Miller away from the Canucks, they continue to win. You know, this has happened in reverse, but, you know, you put Backstrom in there, you know, you put Darcy Kemper in there, they really, really struggled. And you could tell in the way they were playing. They had no confidence in their goaltending. So suddenly you have somebody that goes in there and stabilizes the position, and they go from a team that is hopelessly out of it, where, you know, you're probably looking at a coaching change, to a team that, you know, I mean, I said at the start of the year, I thought they had a good enough team to make a run. And I agree. If they happen to be the crossover team, or especially if they happen to be the crossover team and goes into the Pacific Division, they could easily be the Pacific Division champions. And depending on what happens there, I mean, they've showed in the last little while that they are very competitive with the St. Louis Blues. If the Blues happen to hang on and win the Central, that will be a monumental series. And I don't think St. Louis is at all interested in playing the Minnesota Wild this year because of the way they've been in the second half.
One of the stories this year, and we talk about Devan Dubnyk and his goaltending performance in Minnesota. Well, the story right now is all about Andrew Hammond in Ottawa and the run that he's gone on, 14-0-1, and the Sens are back in the postseason. But, Al, we've seen goaltenders come in and kind of light the world on fire and then not be heard from again. So I'll ask you, from what you've seen, is Andrew Hammond the real deal, or are we talking about a bit of a flash in the pan here?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of him lately. I mean, the Flyers, the Bruins, he didn't look particularly good. I wouldn't want to bet a paycheck that he's the real deal. There's a lot of emotion going on there. The team's playing very well. They're all jacked up now. They're on a run. It looks like a lot of momentum. And I know he's got the terrific goals against, but the actual eye test, watching him play, I'm not sold on the long term of him. I'll take the ride this year for sure, what's going on, and turn it around. But he really, it sounds stupid looking at the numbers, but the last little bit, he really hasn't looked that good to me. It looks like the team is now emotionally charged with him and playing better. His game, I think, has slipped just over the past couple of weeks here to the point where he's made some spectacular saves, but he doesn't look as steady as he was. I'm not buying long term. I am buying it keeps him in the race here, and they certainly look like with neck and neck with Boston. They may have a more advantageous kind of schedule going down here, but I'm not buying long term on this guy.
Eric?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, unfortunately, Al and I have both been around a long time, and we've seen goaltenders like this come and go. And part of the problem is that, you know, like, no one has a book on him, right? So he arrives in the National Hockey League. It's like, who's that playing there? You know, you don't have tape on him. You don't, you know, like, you don't, you know, pinpoint the weaknesses in his game. And so he just plays. And, you know, goaltenders run hot and goaltenders run cold. And he happened to be, you know, running hot at a time when, you know, Ottawa really needed the push that he gave them. And he seems like a likable kid. And the whole Hamburglar thing has created a, you know, like a great backstory for him. So, you know, it's all the elements of a story that people want to cheer for. But, I mean, people want him to succeed right now. And so I agree with Al, you know, that, you know, during this last period of time, he may not have been as sharp, but nobody really wants to talk about that because, hey, why spoil a good story? And they are still winning.
Right.
And so, you know, I think they won because of him in that first stretch where they really turned it around. And now they are winning with other elements of their game. Carlson's been a lot better. They've got two dynamic scoring lines. They're a fun team to watch, and they score a lot of goals. And they may well make the playoffs because they're winning games 5-3. When he arrived on the scene, you know, the offense didn't have the confidence. Carlson was in the midst of just a so-so year. And so, like, he has helped the position players get their confidence. And now that they have it, you know, I think they're repaying him with the way they're playing. So, I mean, I like their chances of making the playoffs. But would I want to sign him to a 5-year contract and give him a lot of money? I'd like to see it over the course of 82 games and then another year and another year after that.
The final topic on today's East-West Hot Stove with Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail and Al Morganti from CBS Radio in Philadelphia. And we'll go to two teams that, you know, you guys are both pretty familiar with, one out east, one out west, and I'll ask you about both of them. Right now we're looking at Boston and Los Angeles, both on the outside looking in for a playoff spot right now. Both of these teams have been the perennial heavyweights in their respective conferences. So are we talking about their windows being closed, or are these just blips on the radar? And Al, we'll go to you first.
Well, L.A. looked really good last night. I mean, really, really good. And I didn't think at the beginning of the year I thought they were going to be out of the playoffs. Now they've made a roster move, get a veteran back. I still think they're going to struggle to get in. They're not as good as they were. Obviously, on defense, they slipped a little bit because of their roster issue with Boyan. But I like the way they played their last game. I still don't believe they're going to make it. I like, believe it or not, you're right there in Calgary. I like the emotion of that team. I just can't believe that the hockey gods wouldn't reward them. Even with Vancouver.
Oh, hockey gods are fickle.
I really wouldn't. So I don't. And the Bruins are a pretty tough schedule with Tampa, the Rangers, and the big game with the Ducks coming up. But Krejci's coming back, and that's huge. When they lost that 3-0 lead to the Flyers, it was Krejci that went out. And I think Lucic will come back to life. So I believe Boston has a better chance than Los Angeles. And I know that's 180 degrees of how most people are going to look at it, but I think Krejci's going to be a huge addition to them coming back. And I just don't think L.A. deserves it because they squeaked in a couple other times and made the long run. They just can't keep doing it. It's not right.
So you're talking about right and wrong, and we're talking about professional sports, right? There's a disconnect here, isn't there?
Eventually, it has to catch up. Eventually, you can't keep doing that. The rabbit doesn't come out the hat. It doesn't happen.
Well, you may be right about that. Although I have to say, I mean, I watched the Kings Devils game. I was back and forth with the one they played against the Rangers, and they were so impressive. I mean, it should have been 8-1. I mean, Corey Schneider had one of the great goaltending performances I've seen this year. So you look at the score 3-1. It should have been 8-1. They just rolled over them. It was as if they collectively decided, okay, we're going on the road and we can't mess around anymore. And we just, we need to, get our act together. Come on, And that's what it looked like. It looked like these two games they went and played. And the Rangers are, on a really good streak right now. And then they've been
The Rangers have been struggling. Their numbers have been good, but their games slipped. But the Kings were very impressive.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see because now they have to go into Long Island, a team that also seems to have stepped out. So I kind of think, and believe me, down at the Saddle Dome today, a lot of people talking about this, the Calgary, L.A., and mm-hmm. There just seems to be a feeling of inevitability that the Kings are going to make it. Now, that doesn't exclude the fact that Calgary could still make them because Winnipeg came back to the pack a little bit by losing in Vancouver. And it was interesting because they made the switch to the goaltender there, Hutchinson, and, gave up three. The last two were in the empty net. But it will be interesting to see, I would have said, 3 days ago, I would have said for sure five teams in the Central are going to make the playoffs. Now I'm not so sure. It's possible that both Calgary and LA will get in, and it might be at the expense of Winnipeg, depending on how the Jets now rebound from that. But of those two teams that you're talking about, Pat, I like LA's long-term future better than Boston's. Boston looks to me like a team that is getting old. You've got Chara not having the same impact that he once did. That defense just doesn't look as solid as it did. And so when you look at the forwards, I mean, they've absolutely missed Krejci, and he's a money player. When you get into the playoffs, Krejci is a guy that is often at the top of the scoring list. So not having him in there has really undermined the thing. But they are limping. And sometimes, you have a season like Los Angeles, I think they got their bad play out of the way early, and they're revving it up right now. With Boston, it looks to me like they have to get to the finish line. So, can Krejci come in and be good right away? Does he need three games to be, to get back into the rhythm of it? I think that will have a lot to do with whether they do. If he can come in and have an immediate impact, then Boston's chances improve significantly. If he needs a week to get it going, a week might be too long.
Gentlemen, good stuff. It's one of the favorite segments of the week for a reason. Al, thank you very much. Eric, thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful rest of the week.
All right. Talk to you next week.
There you go. The East-West Hot Stove every Wednesday here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.